Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome, everyone. With Josh and Heidi here, Sober.Buzz, spreading the good buzz with our puppy, Sophia Loren. We're excited. We have a fun host today, Dr. Rob Kelly from Manchester, England, and currently resides in San Antonio. He has played bass with Queen, Elton John, and David Bowie, and has a facility for addiction in San Antonio. So, Dr. Rob, you want to fill us in on anything before we jump in?
Yeah, guys. Okay. My name is Dr. Rob Kelly. Great to be here, guys. We have 5 offices around the world. We have Dallas, San Antonio, Manchester. We have Spain and Switzerland. I've been in the industry about 30 years with around 12,500 patients and millions of people we've helped online. So looking forward to this. Thank you for having me on. We're very humbled by this. And let's go.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. I guess my first question for you is you were playing bass. Abbey Studios, then you went homeless, and then you ended up at Oxford University. Like, that's a pretty...
Kind of. And then my music, I'm a professional musician for many years, as well as an alcoholic and drug addict. The playing at Abbey Road paid for the college, which I should not have gotten, but we grew up on the projects. But I joined the Freemasons at an early stage. And yeah, so that part of my life was pretty fun, but I was pretty drunk at the time, so I don't remember everything, you know. And then I became homeless, Joe. Then I became homeless after all of that.
So you became homeless after you went to Oxford before?
Yes. So I'm on the streets telling people I went to Oxford and I have a PhD, and they're going, yeah, sure you do.
Yeah, I can see that's a hard sell, right?
Yeah, that is a hard sell. is a hard sell. Well, my daughter's favorite musician in the entire world is David Bowie.
That's right.
15, and she just is obsessed. It's her wallpaper. It's her posts on IG. It's everything. So she's very excited that you're on today.
But I saw Elton John in Hyde Park a few years ago. So we're fans of who you played with. So, but yeah, why don't we jump into why we're here and talk about recovery and addiction? You have a different approach, and I saw like 97% success rate, which that's impressive.
Tell us about that. I mean, that's the highest rate I've ever heard of for any sort of recovery.
I think the nearest one's like 19%. So we have a money back guarantee. If you come to us and you leave us after 3 months and follow our program, if you relapse, we'll refund your money. We're the only company in the world that does that. And I'll tell you why. Alcohol has 1% to do with alcoholism.
Yes.
Right. Drug. Absolutely.
So what do we have on our hands? Well, alcoholics are born and drug addicts are made. They both show up the same, but we've traced a implanted amendment gene into fetus level of alcoholics. So you can trace it back in your family. Drug addiction is the addicted personality. So 98%, 97% of people that come to us started in the doctor's office when it comes to drugs. So we know we have a problem there. So if it's not about the substances, what's it about? Well, it's about here. It's about with the conscious, subconscious, the three parts of the brain that differ to anybody else when we're alcoholic drug addicts. That's the hypothalamus, the basal ganglia, and the amygdala. They are the hypothalamus is at a default setting. So after a period of time, it hijacks the brain. It's very, very fascinating. And that's why We have an assessment before you come on. So I'm very big with this, guys, because my mom and dad, working class, lower working class, grew up on the projects, council estates, couldn't afford treatment, man. You know, but they saved up and they got me in treatment, and it was just, I relapsed on the way home. So my thing is, because we turned a female pop star down for $1 million about 18 years ago. And then she's paper shaving her head off. If we can't guarantee that you will get well and aspire, because we work with not only drug addicts, we work with entrepreneurs, podcasters, business guys. We build empires for people. Then I'm not going to take you on, you know. False promises that we've seen it all the time in treatment centers. Oh, Johnny's really, oh yeah, bring him back. It's only 10 grand a month. Yeah, bring him back. It's like,
I don't get a month. I wish I knew about that rehab.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, well, I mean, we guarantee what we do because, you know, we've been doing it for so long. We're very hardcore about it.
Well, what I can say is until I dealt with my mental health issues and past trauma, I was never going to be sober. That's how I got sober. It was the mental aspect of it for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Until I dealt with my trauma, there was no way I was going to get clean.
Childhood trauma is the gateway drug. As we know, and people say, yeah, yeah, I'm clean. They go to AA for a couple of weeks and not drank. I mean, is it reckon they're clean? It's not about the alcohol. Right. It's about the traits. It's about the self-sabotage. It's about the childhood trauma, which everybody has. Oh, I'm okay. I don't have childhood. Yeah, you do. Everybody has it. It's just that alcoholics and addicts are more sensitive to a trauma. And a trauma for me, one of the billions was, this was my mom. How many times have I told you, Robert, you can't go to college like your brother? You're too stupid. That's what I heard.
Boom.
Huge trauma, because what happens in childhood trauma is as we get older into adult life, that's the action. That's the action and consequence from that time, which was normalized back in my day, by the way. You know, when the priest molested me, it was not only normalized, but how dare you say that a priest touched you? How dare you? And my parents came into our room and it was horrible. Yeah, we've got to look intricate, pull it apart. We've got to uncover, discover, discard all that trauma before we can treat alcoholism.
Yep. Well, I agree with that approach. That's what worked for me. So
yeah absolutely.
So what was the treatment that you had been interested in, but and he does?
It's a somatic experience. Can you tell us about how you integrate that?
Maybe explain a little bit about what that is, too.
The somatic experience?
Brilliant, So we have a couple of tools that we use. We have a software that changes neural pathways, heals brains. We have brain spotting. We have photomodulation red light therapy, which is medical grade, and we have somatic experiences.
Let's explain all of those and what they are and...
Okay, so somatic experience has been around for so many hundreds of years. And basically what it is alcoholism or drug addiction or depression or whatever it is will never come to me on Friday and go, hey, Rob, let's have a drink. It will never do that. It's always a week or 2 weeks before the pickle with the drink. When we get a drink, all bets are off. You're not going to stop.
You've already relapsed before you've had that drink.
What somatic experience does is it makes you understand and go through the feelings of your body. So if you understand where your body is, it's like the gut feeling. People, the gut feeling is real. It goes back to the tribal days where one of the tribesmen would feel, and it's real. So somatic experience gets you in tune with your body.
We actually talked about that. Like when you follow your gut, things usually work out. Yeah,
100% it does. And people don't
believe. Yeah,
we talk about that a lot,
The other thing we have is brain spotting. Now, brain spotting is pretty new. It's been around about 10 years or so, as far as I know, by the way. And that is, we use a mechanism which goes through the pupil. So it's kind of EDMR with no flashing light. And you watch for certain indicators on the bodies, the eyes, the temple, and the cheeks. And you can connect to the subconscious brain. So the stuff that's coming out of the patient's mouth is something that they've never even touched before because they've forgotten about it.
Oh,
really? Yeah.
It's like hypnosis kind of, or like a result?
Kind of, but more in depth. So there's a lot to it, but this The other thing we have NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and we're very big on subliminal messaging.
Subliminal messages?
Yes. I can plant people's head and all my people can. That will take you in a different direction when the brain is patterned, because most people, all people have patterned behavior. That's right. what science tells us. So we need to break that pattern open. The other thing we have as well is 9D. It's called nine-dimensional software. And what it is, it's headphones and a mask. And you put it on, you lie back. There's 52 programs. That, with nine subliminal messages going around you at the same time, it reprograms, it reformats the self-sabotaging brains to positive neural pathways. So what we found is 300 neural pathways die every day. What are you replacing them with? Well, this software allows you to subliminal plant stuff into the brain. It also steadies your frequency and vibration out. So you're now more in touch with your world and what's going on. So it's an amazing, we've been using it for a year. It's absolutely the best thing that I've ever used. And it's just crazy. So they're the four things that we use.
Proprietary things that you guys developed, or is this like available to, you know, other facilities?
It's available to others, but not a lot of people know about it. You've got to go on, you've got to do the training, you've got to get a certificate. And 75% of the 90 breathbox.studio, guys, if you want to look at it, is done online. And we do 50% where we come to you and perform it. But yeah, we've adopted the 9D. We're licensed under Breathbox Studio to perform.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting to me.
I tell you what, guys, if you were to come on for one session, your life will change. So I don't know if I can curse on Abe, but this is true. We have housewives, we have vicars. This is what people do. Can I curse for a second? Is that okay? This is what they do every time. I don't care if the posh housewife, they go, what the fuck was that? Let me say, oh my God, doctor, I feel amazing. And then, hey, no, you don't. You feel normal. This is the way we're supposed to feel. But with all the fear, when we live in this fear world, when's the next shoe going to drop? Babies are born with two fears, falling, loud noises. That's it. The rest are man-made. So we get rid of the man-made fears so you can be in a place where you can build that empire. You can build that million-dollar podcast. You can get sober. You can do all these things that we take you through to make sure that you succeed in whatever you're doing, because that's the real deal. You know?
So this, this is like showing you how to live in the present and not...
Correct.
And live in the past. And that was one of my problems, and yeah. I had to overcome that. So yeah. This sounds like a great tool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Then you've got the normal psychology, and then we don't hire therapists. We have coaches because we push the boundaries. I've been into Texas board so many times about telling people to get the fuck out of my office. And apparently they frown on that. I don't know what's going on.
So I went to Burning Tree Renewal Lodge out in Elgin. This sounds completely like a completely different experience.
Yeah.
Like we have therapy.
Yeah, 100%. That's what we had to do, because therapy today is not working. The treatment model has been broken for so many years. It doesn't work. When you have a 3-4% success rate, what are you teaching them guys in there? Especially Burning Tree, not calling it Burning Tree, amazing place, but they have it for 4 months. So, you know, what are we teaching in there? Well, we're not teaching the real problem. We're not teaching people think that alcoholism, if I could just stop drinking. Oh my God, how many times have we tried to stop drinking? It's not about the alcohol. Yep. So when we come down to that self-sabotage behavior that we're always doing, you realize that we're not teaching this stuff in treatment centers. And let's face it, guys, treatment centers, not all of them, we have a couple we work with that are amazing. Most treatment centers is a business.
They count on you coming back.
Correct.
Well, the first rehab I went to, I went to CIRC up in Sundance, Utah. I went back 3 weeks later to do the relapse autopsy, right? So they're planning for relapses, right? They have a program called relapse autopsy.
What the hell is that about? If I told you I have something for somebody, if you relapse, it's okay, but we'll give you this. What? If you tell people they're going to relapse, have a guess what? They're going to believe it. We cure C-U-R-E. Drug addiction, depression, anxiety, PTSD. Now we've moved into Alzheimer's and dementia. We cure all of those. Now there's no cure for alcoholism because of the hypothalamus and basal ganglia. That's where the disease is. But there's no cure for the common cold or food poisoning. So people freak out. They go, I have no cure for it. Man, come on. You can build an empire once you get rid of all that stuff that you've gone through and all the stuff you're going through. It's not hard to stop drinking. We've all done it. Can you stay stopped and live a life beyond your wildest dreams? Usually it's a no. I say go drink. What's the point in living in a world where you're miserable? Go drink.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of was my thinking process, even though at times it made me more miserable.
Right.
It was the best option.
Yeah. You know? It was the only way I knew how to cope with the miserable world I was living in.
Correct. Yeah. That, you know, and most alcoholics and addicts were very sensitive. And people say, Dr. Rob, I've had a really bad day. Right. And then we go, was it a bad day or 5 minutes you strung out all day? It's usually 5 minutes they strung out all day. Because we're sensitive and we feel very sorry for ourselves and, you know, fuck this, I'm just going to drink. I'm just going to have a drink tonight. It's horrendous what we think and what we do. And once that internal dialogue starts from the basal ganglia, you're going to repeat and repeat and eventually you're going to die.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
When did you start your first facility? And I guess, what program did you start with? And can you tell us how all this kind of developed into what you have now?
So I've always been teaching this. So I would say 30 years, 10 in England. It was not on the scale we do now. But 20 years ago, I got into America and we started. So we were teaching this stuff like 19 years ago. And I swapped my license over, my psychology license, and they stripped me of it because they said that I was damaging people and I was dangerous. So it took me 6 months to get my license back. I lecture to those guys, by the way, today on alcohol. Smile when I did
one. Full circle, right?
Yes.
I just always knew that it wasn't what it seemed to be. It's like I'm, you know, a fighter. I'm a body guy. I couldn't fucking stop drinking. Here's a scenario, guys, that changed everything. So outside a liquor store, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I've got a vest on, pair of shorts, pair of flip-flops. It's snowing profusely, and I'm sweating like crazy. I know I'm going into the DT. Hospital, alcohol, they're my two choices every single time. The guy knows me. He opens the door at 5:30. I sneak in. Now, I'm like this. I can't talk. I'm shaking. My head is killing me. I'm weak. And for whatever reason, I put my £10 on the counter and he put the bottle on the counter, the bottle of vodka, and this was my reaction. Hey, buddy, I hope you have a great day. And I looked at the bottle unopened with just my hand around it, and I looked at the shopkeeper and I looked back and I went, fuck me, it's not about the alcohol. That's where it started for me. It's like everything went. So we've done so many trials and tests of picking people up when they're going to relapse, taking them to the liquor store or a drug dealer, and then taking it back home again. And what we found out was the most intoxicating part of all that journey was the trip to the dealer or the trip to the liquor store.
The excitement.
The anticipation. Yeah.
Bang. The anticipation calms everything down.
That's where you get a kind of a high.
Yeah, you do. You get that little high in between just waiting for it, knowing you're going to get it.
Fight yourself, don't we?
Like any type of event you're excited for.
Oh my God, oh my God. I'm going to, I'm going to the liquor store.
Yeah.
I feel amazing. Even though I might be suffering, we feel amazing. Then we're guilty on the way. You put the bottle down, you go bang, and all your problems are gone.
Yeah.
And that is alcohol.
That is actually how it is.
Yeah.
I never really thought about it like that.
Either.
There is a excitement and thrill of like of the chase kind of.
So when people work with you, you have all these different modalities. Do they go through all of them or does like certain things work for certain types of people? How do you do it?
Well, what we found is the program that we teach is alcoholics and drugs was 90%, 95% of our business. What we see now is probably 30% of our business. The rest, people wanting to better themselves, you know, stuff like that. It works for anything. Now, we're so aghast with this program that we've had that we're talking to RFK right now. Me and Gary, well, Gary Brecker is, I'm Gary Brecker's friend, about what we do because it's got such a high. And then what we did is we said, hey, if this works for that, what about Alzheimer's, which me and my wife's parents died of? So we brought two patients in. We worked with them for 3 months and we sent them to be tested at the beginning and at the end. These guys have tried everywhere and everything. There was a 13% recall on short-term memory with 3 months with us using the 9D and the medical red light therapy with a hat on and a belt.
Really? I have a question about that. So I went through 52 rounds of ECT and I have lost years of my memory. And it's definitely affected my short-term memory now. Like we can have full-blown conversations and he will bring it up the next day. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, I mean, my memory is awful.
It's a lot better now since you're
things
you didn't need to be on.
Right. Yeah. Now that I'm not, you know, you're like
misdiagnosing
Klonopin and all of that, it's much better. Yeah. I mean, I still suffer from the effects of that ECT. Is that something that could help someone like me?
100%. We get people in all the time saying they've tried this, they've tried that. That's the patients we like. If you come to us the first time, this is my first treatment, we say, go away. Go and try your treatment centers. Go and try go and try all of that because then you'll appreciate what we do and how we do it. So, we can cure that. I don't know how many sessions. It also depends on your childhood trauma. But, yeah, that's what happens when people come in. They go, my memory's going. I can't remember this. Now, listen very carefully now. When we put poisons into our body, like Klonopin, like methadone, all that shit that the pharmaceutical drugs say, hey, take this and you'll be okay, absolutely destroys the brain. So when I get depressed, this is a scenario. I get depressed, I go home to the wife. Wifey, I'm so depressed. Oh, go see the doctor. That's the common, go see the doctor. So I go to the doctor and he doesn't ask me my diet, my exercise, my family life, my work, doesn't ask any of that. It just writes a prescription for, let's say, I don't know, Wellbutrin, okay? And then, which is a false serotonin. So I start taking Wellbutrin, which is a false serotonin. Now, my serotonin, so it depletes and depletes and depletes. Now I'm stuck on that. Why is anybody asking before we go to the doctors why my serotonin is low in the first place?
I have always wondered that.
Right.
Always. And actually, I'm in the middle of weaning off of Wellbutrin myself for this exact reason. Like, I know it's a false serotonin. I was misdiagnosed as bipolar about 18 years ago and was on a slew of drugs until last year in rehab, where I had this like freak, Evans Johnson syndrome, and I had to go off all of my meds. And all of a sudden I was like, wait a second, I'm more clear-headed. I actually am functioning. I'm happy. I'm like, it was crazy. All of a sudden I just became a completely different person, but in a good way. Yeah. Like all those drugs had been driving me crazy for years and I didn't know it. And I had been fighting to figure out what was wrong with me for so long.
But everyone just said, take more drugs.
Yeah. But all the doctors just kept saying, take more drugs. Why don't we add this on top of it?
Or do more ECT.
Or do more ECT and wreck your brain. Let's destroy your memories because then you'd have nothing to be sad about. Like, you know, it was insane.
Crazy.
And now it's been a year, and you were going to the mental hospital a couple times a year at least.
Yeah.
You haven't been in a year.
I haven't.
You haven't had ECT in a year. You've been off the, all those drugs, lithium and everything, for a year.
Yeah.
And like, you're sharp. Your memory, your memory is great compared to what it used to be.
Yeah. It is night and day, but it's still not where I would like it to be. I don't feel normal.
Yeah, that's the thing, is we can get happy and content and, you know, succeed and loving and a family and a husband. If we can do that, that life would be a dream, correct? Well, you can't. And there's a myth out there that you can't. Pharmaceutical companies kill people. All right. Yeah. So, you know, the third leading cause of death in the US, the medical fraternity, because the doctors get a little present when they write so many prescriptions. Oh, that's not
right.
Shut up. It's true. I can hear people out there say, shut up. It's true. We have. So when they're be paid to give these pharmaceuticals out, like the stuff that you just mentioned, especially in lithium, never going to get well on that shit. It's going to destroy your brain. So, well, we have to take medication. Says who? And I'm only talking about psych, not so much long or hot. Says who? Who come up with it? Bipolar? Huh. How long's that been around? It was invented, I think. Bipolar. Where do you get that word from? Who know? What? Oh, here's the best one. ADHD. ADHD is deficit. It's an overload. Well, we can't sit still. Because mom's, as a child, was giving me like 5,000 spoonfuls of sugar with my Pop-Tarts and shit like that before I go to school. And, like,
we don't give it to myself.
So if it's an overload, what should we give him? Let's give him some Adderall. What's Adderall? It's amphetamine salts. Well, surely.
Yeah.
And that's the way we live.
You don't prescribe anything then, I take it.
Nothing.
No prescriptions, no medicine. It's all.
We do have a herbalist on our team, which builds your stuff from scratch. It's not like you go to the store where 20%, 80% shit in the vitamin. Right. Most vitamins have got cyanide in them, cocobabalin or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, if you need certain things, then we make it for you, and then you take it, and people are getting better.
I'm thinking like, wait a minute, we're only 80 miles away.
They're coming down to visit.
Where are you?
We're now Austin, downtown Austin.
Get your ass down here now.
Our asses are coming down.
Yeah, absolutely. We're on the way.
We'll change your life. Now this
this is amazing.
It sounds like everything I've always thought medicine should be.
Yes.
Well, you went to Sierra Tucson and you worked on your mental stuff.
Yes, I did a lot of.
And you wanted to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Meadows?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Is that the Meadows? No.
It's Sierra Tucson.
Oh, okay.
It's what it was called. And then I also went to a place called Aqua in Utah, where I did a lot of EMDR and also IFS. And it was so healing, so helpful. Really, truly changed my life.
What got you somewhere that the medicine never got you? The medicine
was, right.
Yeah.
The medicine never helped.
It was dragging you.
It was dragging you down, and it was just covering up one problem and making another.
No.
So, yeah.
Listen, here's the deal, guys at home. If you're going to see a therapist or a coach or a psychologist, if he doesn't change your life in one session, go somewhere else. Stop wasting your money. There has to be a difference in one session. You've got to come out going, holy shit. Wow. Oh, my God. Yeah, you've got to do it. Otherwise, what's the point, man? You know, we get people all the time and they come in and go, oh, Dr. Roth, I suffer from alcoholism, but I'm also depressed. Oh, you're depressed? How long has that been going on? So how long have you been taking Wellbutrin? About 10 years now. When the fuck did you think it was going to kick in?
I
always wondered, like, if this medicine's obviously not working, so like, why don't they try a different combination of things? Why do they keep adding to it?
Right. They always.
I didn't know back then. Right. That's what I would have wondered. Right.
Exactly.
So
now again, there's great doctors around. There's great pharmaceutical hearts. Is they all that stuff brilliant? Absolutely. When it comes to psych, we're getting over by the pharmaceutical companies who are getting us hot on this. So here's how it goes, okay? This is how I would imagine. Chairman with the board of a large pharmaceutical company sit around one day and they go, okay, numbers are dropping. What can we do? Well, we are losing $6 trillion on the streets with the heroin and that's all coming in from. How do we get a piece of that? Okay, well, here's what we'll do. Okay, we'll create a drug. Let's call it Suboxone. And then what we'll do, which is the same, the heroin molecular buildup, what we'll do, tell people that if you take Suboxone, it's better than heroin, dirty heroin on the streets. But you take this from a pharmaceutical and a doctor, everything will be okay. And you know what happened? They sold it to the world and the fucking world bought it. You think the brain knows the difference between pharmaceutical drugs and street drugs?
Absolutely not.
What? And we take it. I went head to head with Purdue. In Dallas, Texas, on live screen. It was a live program, and we had it out to out, me and the legal guy and one of their CEEs, whatever the fuck that is, and the next day they filed for bankruptcy. Oh, it's like, we don't take any shit here. We don't sit there going, there, it'll be okay, because it fucking won't be okay. People are dying on a daily basis, and no one gives a shit. And alcoholism and stuff like that are not being reported. Like, oh, it's an epidemic. You put every single illness you have together, and alcohol will beat that if it's reported. How do we know that? Well, we went into Richardson Hospital in Dallas, and we're allowed to stay there for a period of time, monitoring people coming in on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night if they were drinking alcohol. 90-something, I don't know exactly, 93% of people coming through the emergency room doors on a Friday and Saturday had alcohol or drugs inside them. Out of the 93%, some like 23 were kept overnight. Out of the 25th percent, 2% died of a pure alcohol or drug. Did it go down as that? No. Went down as car crash, heart failure, da-da-da.
Oh, yes.
Being reported. So when you do it, we spent over $1 million on research over the last 20 years I've been here. We're being led up a garden path because it's all about greed and profit. Well, every single patient I take on, I have their lives in my hand. And we've turned down more people than we've taken on. Because if I sit in front of a patient and I tell the patient or the parents or the husband and wife that we got him, don't worry, we've got him, we'll fix him, it'll be great. People tell that to my mom and dad. My mom died early of cancer, worried about me. It's false hope. And so, guys, if you're running treatment centers, you can't guarantee that. Get out of the fucking industry. There's no room for you in this. And there's charlatans out there. There's, you know, it makes me sick.
Selling false hope is the most dangerous thing you could possibly do, especially to someone in. I was sold so much false hope, and can't tell you how many times I tried to kill myself because of these false promises of you're going to get better this time, or you're going to get better on this or that, or this combination, or let's just do a little bit more ECT. And every time I would come home from the hospital and I would sit down back in the environment that was creating so much trauma and just want to die again because there was nothing I could do.
Well, you went to the hospital sometimes just to get out of that environment.
I would literally go to the hospital almost as like a vacation.
You called it that.
And looking for the relief that I could get for that, you know, brief 7-day period or 14-day period or however long they decided to keep me, because all I wanted to do was die for so long. Yeah. Yeah. If I had heard about something like this back then, I would have wasted so much of my life.
I know. Nobody's doing what we do, and we're years ahead of anybody else. But yeah, that's where the heartbreak is, right there, Heidi. That's what hits me in the heart. So why do we have millions of people suffering in pain? You know, oh, it must be me. I keep reading, like, it must be me, or I'm depressed. It must be there. Why aren't we telling the fucking truth, guys? And I'll tell you why. It's all about money. Nobody wants to
pay. When I met her, you had a pharmacy, basically. But, like, you were taking your medicine, you told me, like, within the parameters.
Yeah.
But, like, within those parameters, you were a zombie.
Yeah,
was just like, that's not helping you. That's just you're getting escape, right? Yeah. I mean, I was getting escape through drinking. So I mean, I'm not like but like they were giving you prescriptions just so you could hide from, just like how I was doing it.
To hide from the pain.
Yeah. I never thought of it like that. Yeah. Like they are facilitating the same thing an alcoholic is doing.
Yeah.
Let me ask the audience a question. Have you, talking about psych, again, I don't know about the body. Have you ever gone to the doctor with an illness or an ailment? He's give you medication, it's cured that illness, so you don't have to take medication again. Yeah, I didn't think so. It doesn't happen. You know, once you're on it for life. You know, you're a paying customer lost if you come off that shit. Oh, God forbid.
And they up the dosage often, right? So you're taking more.
They just keep upping and upping and upping, and eventually you can't up it anymore, and then you just sit at that high dosage, and it's not doing anything anyway.
And then they mess up a dosage, and you end up getting a 1 in a million disease.
Yeah, so, like I did.
That didn't help.
It's a battle. You know, I've fought this for 20 years. I've been here. I've got a loud mouth. I'm a big guy. I don't take any shit. I'm not going away anywhere. That's the deal that people either love me or they don't. And to be honest with you, I don't give a shit which one it is, but I ain't going.
I want to ask you, where do you fit in the rehab addiction world? We have places like Cirque and the places in Malibu that are all poshy. We have like the boot camps or whatever, like Burning Tree, everything in the middle. But it sounds like you're approaching this from no one else is doing what you're doing. I take it. I've never heard of this before.
Yeah.
So like,
we're more neuroscientists. It's neuroscientists.
Okay.
Neuroscience that is curing people when we find out what's going on in the brain. So let me tell you about alcoholism. This will blow your mind, man. So there's a part of the brain that's our survival part. It tells us from birth to drink water, eat food to survive. That's it. It does other things like temperature and stuff. But the hypothalamus is there for that reason, okay? During an alcoholic's drinking career, 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever it is, at a certain point, the hypothalamus, our survival part of the brain, hijacks the brain. And it tells the prefrontal cortex, to survive, you must drink alcohol. It's what it tells the alcoholic.
Well, that's how I thought. I thought I could never, I was never going to not be able, I was always going to need alcohol in my life is what I was thinking.
That's the hypothalamus. In the hypothalamus, in layman's terms, if you don't drink alcohol, you're going to die. That's why I can go days or weeks without food or water, because my hypothalamus is not working properly. Neither is the anterior cerebral cortex, the hippocampus, the ventral middle prefrontal cortex. They're all damaged. So what do? We further damage that with, if it's drugs, it might be Suboxone. Suboxone is a taper. It's a taper. If you're on Suboxone more than 6 weeks, guess what? You're a fucking drug addict. Yeah. Oh. Let's call it as it is, guys. People dying every year. Nobody's doing nothing about it. So where do I stand on that? You know, level wise, we have an agreement. Me and treatment centers, they don't like me, and I don't like them.
Oh, I was going to ask you if anybody is adopting any of this. Do you see adoption across the industry or anything?
We don't. And the reason why we don't mix with them, you know, we all go to these evenings out with all the treatment centers gathered. Yeah. It's bullshit is what it is. You're not in the same industry as me. You're not in the healing people industry. You're not about building entrepreneurs industry. You're not in that, okay? So why the hell would we associate ourselves with anything like that? It's just not going to happen. I fought too hard. I've taken too many knocks. I've been ridiculed by pharmaceuticals and doctors that I don't know what I'm doing. And before, like I said, I lectured to those guys a day. You know, we are 30 years more advanced than any person out there. And I can hear people go, that's just bullshit, Dr. Rob. Really? Anybody else offering a money-back guarantee?
Yeah.
I didn't think so. Anyone passing a strict assessment before they take them on? I didn't think so. So we take this seriously. So when we do this, me and all three of us now, I pick up this phone right now, and we could call 10 treatment centers. You know they're going to ask us? Oh, yeah, okay, brilliant, okay. Do you have
your insurance?
Yeah, what's your insurance? Can you afford us if you don't have insurance?
Yeah. Hey, not, okay, what's going on? I mean, what's happening? Now, have you got insurance? I'll take the insurance, see if you qualify. If you don't qualify, you don't get a call back from those guys. Yeah. And you might fucking die of untreated alcoholism. You think these guys give a shit? No, they don't. And I might be coming over as harsh. I'm coming over as passionate, as excited. It's like, we have something here.
Well, this is life and death, you know? You should. I appreciate it. how enthusiastic you are.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's life and death. And I don't feel like a lot of treatment centers treat it that way. I mean, the people working there can say, yes, you know, we care. And I believe they do.
Yeah.
I do. I believe they do. Yes. And they're trying their best, but they don't have the correct tools, obviously, to do what they need to do.
I love what you said, that they're there trying to help people and they're doing the best. 100%. 100%. But the tools they're using are from the 1950s and 60s. It's like we've found about neuroscience now. We find out what's really going on in the brain. But it's not their fault. It's not the manager's fault. It's the guy that owns it that are letting people in. Now, the three seat treatment centers that I know, if you relapse, you go back there as long as you want for free. I love that idea. But again, what are we teaching? Is alcoholism, can you fully be recovered from alcohol? Yeah, of course you can. Why are you always recovering from shit? John Randy's robbing alcoholic. Stop calling yourself that shit because the brain believes that. It's called memory versus internal dialogue. If I around nine depressed people, I'm going to become the 10th. If I hang around nine successful people, I'm going to become the 10th.
Right. And I actually had a really big problem with AA and having to say every time, like, well, first of all, I had a problem with the whole God thing. But second of all, a problem with the fact, hi, I'm Heidi. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. I'm not an alcoholic and an addict anymore. I used to be. I don't do that stuff anymore. I don't want to keep calling myself that. I've come too far and fought too hard to keep calling myself an addict.
It was like if you had cancer, God forbid, and this is the quick way to describe it. Sorry, guys. If you had cancer and it was in remission, do you still go back to the cancer ward every week?
No.
Right.
You got better things to do. It's the same. Now, the AA book, Alcoholics Anonymous is the book, the meetings are the fellowship. The book is the best piece of literature I have ever read. Because it's quoting stuff that's happening today. Psychic change, psychic mind change, change of mind. Today they call it neuroplasticity. You know, right. Some of the stuff in there is amazing. But the groups kill me, man. Some of the groups kill me. I'm telling you shit that they, you know. Well, I came to our first meeting, I stopped drinking. Not an alcoholic. Did you work on your childhood trauma or your neuroplasticity? No, but I just stopped drinking. Stop calling yourself an alcoholic because you're killing people with that sentence. Or if you feel like drinking, Rob, you just take a warm bath and take a walk. Do you know what I'd do if I wanted to drink and you was holding a bottle of vodka behind you? I'd stab you incessantly until I got that bottle of vodka out of you.
Yeah.
You've got to expand the alcoholic brain. We're not messing around here. I stabbed my wife 3 times one night because she snatched my bottle of vodka off me. I stabbed her 3 times. That's the mentality of an alcoholic. No, I'm just going to take a bath and everything will be okay. If you haven't gone through addiction, you can't help anybody who's gone through addiction. I don't give a shit how many diplomas you think these are worth anything in my industry. No, they're not worth nothing when it comes down to addiction. I have to go through it. I've had to have our children taken off me. I've had to all this stuff that I died twice on the streets in Manchester, England. What the hell? When you go through all that shit, and you sit down with another alcoholic, knowing what we know today about neuroscience, first 30 seconds, like, I'm fucking in. What do we need to do? They're in.
Yeah.
You know, life. Well, I've gone to college. I went of like 3-year course on alcohol. Shut up. If you get heavy drinkers coming to you, great. But you don't understand the alcoholic frame of mind where the survival part of the brain is telling you, if you don't get this, you're gonna die. We will kill. We will do anything to get the alcohol. And normal people don't realize that.
Right, right. And I'd much rather say I am a drug abuse survivor.
Yeah,
that's so much more empowering to me than saying, "Hi, I'm Heidi. I'm an addict." That's not really sure. I can own that I once was. But I'm not anymore, and I don't want to have to keep saying that I am, you know.
See, that big book of AA says, my name's John, I'm an ex-problem drinker. I love that. I'm an ex-problem drinker. The problem with alcohol, I don't anymore, but I stopped calling myself an alcoholic some years ago. right? I'm not being tagged with that, because what we say out loud is what our brain believes.
Absolutely. Right? Our brain is very powerful like that.
Correct.
Like the experiments that they have done where they even talk to water in a certain way. Have you ever seen
these scientists? Yeah.
Yeah, so where one jar creates mold because you've talked really mean to it. One jar is a little cloudy because you were just a little mean to it. And the other jar is perfectly clear because you kept saying, I love you, you're beautiful, and all these kind things to it.
Yeah.
And I think every day when we look in the mirror and every day when we tell ourselves those little things like, oh, I'm so fucking stupid because I made this mistake, which I catch myself doing all the time. I did it earlier.
Why are you saying that?
Yeah.
Well, the
way we talk to ourselves really does affect
100%.
Our brain, and our brain affects the rest of our body.
It's the prefrontal cortex. So the subconscious mind wakes us up every morning. Okay, that's the bad guy. And the reason why it wakes us up is the subconscious brain thrives in hypoxic situations. Now, in a normal circadian sleep pattern, between the hours of 2 and 5 o'clock in the morning is when the body is at most repair. Right. It's also when people die of natural causes. So down it comes, okay?
Well, now, then Josh will never die of natural causes because he doesn't sleep during those hours.
There you go. But when we wake up, we have no oxygen. We have no oxygen. And that's when the subconscious brain thrives. So the subconscious brain wakes us up. That's why nobody's ever woke up laughing. Lack of oxygen. How do we get rid of this guy who's going to try and kill you today? Because I used to have a brain that tried to kill me and make it look like an accident. That's the subconscious brain. How do we get this guy in? Well, there's a routine that we do. And what happens is the subconscious mind gets killed and the conscious mind takes over the day. But have a guess who wakes you up tomorrow? It's this guy. So when AA says it's one day at a time, they adopted that saying from early scientists that realized that three parts of the brain reset every 24 hours. So if 300 neural pathways die every day, which they do, we've proven that, what are you replacing them with? Are you placing with dropping a pen? Oh, you idiot. Whoa, what? You're either on the way to depression, anxiety, relapse. You're never going to do anything. We never know how good we are. Nobody's going to tell you, you know. Have you seen Dr. Robert? He just did. Oh, my God, he's amazing. Tell him that. Oh, he already knows. Nobody knows. I just want to put that out there. Nobody knows. Why are you complimenting people? Why aren't you doing nice things for people? Because it matters. They're the guy. I tell this when I'm doing talking out there at conferences. As a guy, true story, guy walked to the Golden Gate Bridge, threw himself off, commit suicide. Police pulled him out of the water, found his ID, back to the apartment. What they're looking for is next of kin. But what they find is a letter on the table, and it reads, I'm going to walk to the Golden Gate Bridge, which was an hour's walk, and I'm going to jump off and commit suicide. Unless on the way there, somebody says hello, smiles at me, says good morning, nods at me, I'll stop right there.
A story like this.
And tomorrow. Question. How many people have you walked past today who's heading to the Golden Gate Bridge? So you never know, man. If you still don't believe me, guys, next time you have built up area of people, sneakers are always the best. See somebody with nice sneakers on. I want you to say two words to them, man. Nice sneakers. Oh, thank you, man. Turn around and watch him. He'll look down at your sneakers at least two or three times. Now he just changed his world. But guess what? When he goes home to the girlfriend or wife, because he's in a good mood, now she's in a good mood, it's called the mirroring part of the brain. We connect with people. We take their, like, if you're happy in the house, everyone else happy. If you're miserable, everyone else is miserable. Like you can walk, we've tried this, walk in a room with 10 people with a frown on your face. Most people are going to frown back. The same people 20 minutes later walk in with a smile on your face. Everybody's going to smile back. So yeah. This is also part of addiction. It's also part of depression, of doing this properly and understanding that this is now. This is my life today. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. Here is where I live today. Like my world is here. What can I do today to better myself and better the world? That's what we should be concentrating. Depression, past. Anxiety, future. Both wasted emotions. Why are you stuck in the past?
And I had a big problem with both those things until last summer. So.
Yeah.
What I love about what we're talking about here is this is beyond just getting over your addiction.
Right.
This is just like
healing
the brain and just living a better life.
Right.
You know?
Permanently. If you're a person, let's say alcohol, and you come in here and you get well, we build your website, we get business cards, we get you up and about, we get your business going. If you're an entrepreneur, we have a plan for you. If you suffer from depression, we have a plan of doing something with your life. What's the point of getting clean, getting sober, away from depression? If you're going to live in the same old place, doing the same old shit daily, you'll soon be miserable. You need challenges. Everybody, I learned this from Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the 70s. You can achieve anything you want to do. So I met Arnold. We were looking after him. I'd come to England. He used to be a bodybuilder. And we're sat in the hotel one night. And I said to Arnold, he said, it's all about the mind, the power of the mind. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, and talk about English, broken English, man, real bad, not like it is today. And he said, I'm complete three things. And I said, what are you going to complete? He said, I'm going to be the highest paid movie star in the world. Well, we laughed like, oh, yeah, okay, right, brilliant. What's the second one? I'm going to be a governor of a state, preferably California. And I'm like, I don't know anything about America, but surely you have to be born in America. So what's the third one, Arnold? I'm going to marry into the Kennedy family. Check, check, and fucking check. That's our power.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what we teach here. We teach, you know, let's forget political views for a second, okay? I'm not into politics. I don't give a shit who's in. Makes no difference. But we had a businessman a couple of years ago, a businessman running the country that had no political experience whatsoever. Don't fucking dare tell me you can't achieve your dreams. Somebody's put that there. It isn't true, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's I never would have thought last year, you know, a little over a year ago, now that we've been clean for a year, but that I would be doing anything like this. I did not believe in myself enough to ever dream of even doing this. And all I'm doing right now is just interviewing people and learning about addiction further and hoping to better someone else's life, because I don't want them to go through what I went through. Not and life. That's it.
But
I did not have that confidence in myself in order to do that. A little over a year ago.
Once you find your identity, so here's the deal. Once you've been what we've been through, change neural pathways, okay? And make sure that there's some kind of connection between your mind, your DNA changes.
Absolutely.
Same person as you was before. Not a lot, nobody knows that. Why? Because they've not done the intense scientific work behind it that we've done. It's like you can really, because the mind, if you remember the saying, mind over matter. So the mind sits inside matter, which is the brain. This guy can program the brain every day for success. So in here, we don't have bad days. We have 10 out of 10 days, okay? It's not I did a book study every Saturday morning years ago with about 100 homeless people. Did it every Saturday, continued. My father died on the Thursday night, and I went in on the Saturday. None of those people knew my father had passed away. It's none of their fucking business. What I'm there to do is inspire people. And I inspired them that day, and I come on. That's why God gave me best friends and stuff like that. It's not, I can't go into a room, oh, by the way, I'm not doing any good. I'm not doing any, woe me, big deal. Fathers die every day. You know, I mourned away. I cried when it happened at the time. But I'm not going to carry that on to the next person. That's just not going to happen.
All right.
Baby.
This is just incredible. I mean, I can't wait to come visit you.
Yeah, we're definitely we're gonna schedule something and go down.
Yeah.
Dr. Rob, we're at the top of the hour. You got a meeting, right? You got to get to. Really appreciate you coming on. This has been very insightful, and like I like this. That even though I'm not an active addiction, I don't want to drink. I can still, you know, work on myself.
Absolutely.
Right? So,
anyone can.
Yeah.
100%. This treatment that we do here is for everybody, not just, you know, I got over my addiction. I say this to people, well, I've treated all my addiction. It's good. I'm okay. I'm in a good place now. So what's your dream? Oh, I want to build a $1 million company. Why the fuck have you not done that then? If this is your dream. And the reason why you've done it is you've still got the childhood trauma there. Because what happens is you get a good idea. your father or mother, caregivers or friends, you can hear in the background, don't talk stupid. It's not you. I was in Dallas.
I still hear that voice of I'm not good enough.
As long as you have that voice in your head, you will never achieve the things you want to achieve. Because
look at what we're doing. It's amazing. And you still have a little bit of doubt. Like, it's happening right in front of you.
Yeah.
This is how it gets passed on. So when I'm a toddler, I'm in the kitchen. Mom says to me, don't touch the stove. It's hot. It'll burn. What about me? I touch the stove. Ow! I start crying. What that child learns is whatever mom tells us is true. Okay? Now, when we leave the house and go into our college or whatever, we still believe that what people tell us is true. And there lies the problem, is the enmeshment for me. Then you've got dad on a couple of occasions saying, well, you grew up on the projects. Don't be stupid. You can't really make anything of yourself. And that sits in the subconscious brain. So what happens is when somebody makes a comment, there's two pieces of information the subconscious brain has. Okay? One is whatever people tell you is true. Well, you're a waste of time, piece of shit. Then you get dad's voice in your head. And you self-sabotage that, whatever that be, you self-sabotage it without you even knowing. So if you're on 100 grand a year as podcasters or whatever, my question is to you is why not you're earning $500 a year, $500,000 a year, because it's not about you. It's not about you. This is about why have you not got a bigger platform? Why haven't you got a TV show? Why haven't you all of this stuff that you guys are made for? And that's childhood trauma. It's just that. You know, and it takes somebody who knows what they're doing to get rid of it.
No, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for everything today. This was just wonderful meeting you and hearing what it is you do.
Love to have you on again, and we're definitely coming down to San Antonio.
Yeah.
Today. So I have four businesses. Next door I own a restaurant, which is a British restaurant. So it's all British food, fish and chips and all. Then you come down to see me. I'll put you on the 93. You can sit with me for a bit free. We'll put you on a red light therapy. I'll take you next door and I'll feed you for free. How's that?
Okay. That sounds great.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, free food.
You know the way to my heart.
That sounds great.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. We're going to have you on again. And want to say thanks to all our viewers out there around the world. Stay safe and sober out there in the wild. And we'll see you in the next episode.
See you, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Bye.